From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo inaugurates the Manado Danowudu Manado Bitung Toll Road. Minister Sri Mulyani says handling COVID will accelerate economic recovery in 2021. Now, the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Tuesday evening inaugurated the Manado Bitung Toll Road for the Manado Danowudu section. The inauguration was carried out virtually via video conference from the Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java, on Tuesday. The president explained that the Manado Danowudu Toll Road, which stretches for 26 kilometers, can be used to support business activities and facilitate public transportation. The head of state explained that the Manado Bitung Toll Road is also designed to be integrated with industrial areas and tourism areas in North Sulawesi.
Jalan tol Manado Bitung ini juga dirancang untuk terintegrasi.
The Manado Bitung Toll Road is also designed as integrated road with industrial areas and tourism areas in North Sulawesi so that it will speed up access, easier to reach, more famous, and easy to develop. President Joko Widodo furthermore added, with the existence of this toll road, the logistic costs from the international port of Bitung can be reduced so that it is more efficient, so that competitiveness will also automatically increase. The Manado Danowudu Toll Road is the first toll road in North Sulawesi Province, which is part of the Manado Bitung Toll Road. This 40 km Manado Bitung Toll Road is the longest toll road on the island of Sulawesi. The investment value for the constructions of the Manado Bitung Toll Road reaches 5.12 trillion rupiah. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani said that Indonesia's economy is projected to begin to recover in the third and fourth quarters of this year. Minister Sri Mulyani added that the acceleration will occur in 2021. This was conveyed in a press statement regarding the 2021 state budget, which was delivered virtually on Tuesday. Minister Sri Mulyani said that Indonesia's economy is projected in the range of 5.0%. The minister explained that the handling of COVID is one of factors determining economic recovery.
Faktor-faktor tentu yang bisa memulihkan ekonomi Indonesia, satu, penanganan COVID.
The factors that can restore Indonesia's economy include handling COVID, both from this year and the following year, while maintaining strict health protocols discipline. The more we can control it through health protocols, the more we will be able to deal with COVID and at the same time begin to carry out economic recovery and social activities. Minister Sri Mulyani further added that another factor that determines Indonesia's economic recovery next year is the availability of the COVID-19 vaccine. According to the minister, the vaccine availability schedule can reduce the higher uncertainty at this time. According to the minister, if Indonesia can do vaccinations widely, it will be able to accelerate economic recovery. She further said that the economic recovery would also be driven both in terms of demand and supply. From the terms of demand, the government will continue to provide social assistance to increase purchasing powers, especially to the lower and middle to lower class, reach about 40% of the total number of Indonesia's population. Surabaya will host the Global World Habitat Day commemoration on October 5, 2020. In collaboration with UN Habitat, a United Nations agency in the field of sustainable urban settlements and development. The event was confirmed by a memorandum of understanding signed separately in Jakarta and Kuala Lumpur on Tuesday by the Minister of Public Works and Public Housing, Basuki Hadi Mulyono, and UN Habitat Executive Director, Maimunah Muhammad Sharif. The selections of Surabaya as the host of the event cannot be separated from the mayor's achievement in the urban and residential sector. Antara News Agency reported in a written statement, Indonesian Deputy Permanent Representative to the UN Habitat, Jedut Sutoyo, explained that Indonesia should be proud that many regional heads had received international recognition for their innovations and alignment in the field of sustainable urban development, including Surabaya Mayor Risma Triharini, due to the global pandemic COVID-19. For the first time, this year's World Habitat Day commemoration will be held online. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The World Health Organization, WHO, on Monday said that around 120 million rapid diagnostic test kits for COVID-19 will be available for low and middle income countries with the maximum price of $5 per unit or 74,491 rupiah, respectively. Wider availability of fast, reliable, and inexpensive testing tools will be help 133 countries to track infections and curb the spread and close the gap with rich countries. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said producers of Abbott and SD Biosensor have agreed with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to make 120 million tests.
This will enable the expansion of testing, particularly in hard-to-reach areas that do not have lab facilities or enough trained health workers to carry out PCR tests. This is a vital addition to their testing capacity and especially important in areas of high transmission.
Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus at the press conference in Geneva on Monday said that to make 120 million of the new and fast COVID-19 diagnostic tests are highly portable are available within the next 6-month period. He added that the test kits can be purchased of $5 respectively. Katarina Bomi, Chief Executive Officer of the Foundation for Innovative New Diagnostic Find, a Geneva-based nonprofit organization on the project, said that the deal is an important milestone because it is urgent to increase testing in poor countries. Meanwhile, Maria van Kerkhove, WHO technical head for COVID-19, said that more tests are under evaluation. According to Maria van Kerkhove, the COVID detection tool will be very useful in remote areas and for investigating clusters quickly in areas with large community transmissions. The UN Security Council expressed concern over the clashes between Armenia and Azerbaijan in the Nagorno-Karabakh region and called for an immediate cessation of hostiles and return to the negotiating table. Niger Ambassador to the United Nations, Abdu Abari, said in a statement earlier on Tuesday, the UN Security Council held an emergency meeting behind closed doors and discussed the fighting between Armenia and Azerbaijan that started over the weekend. The Security Council members expressed concern over reports of large-scale military action along the line of contact in the Nagorno-Karabakh contact zones. The Security Council members voiced support for the call by the Secretary General on the sides to immediately stop fighting, de-escalate tensions, and return to meaningful negotiations without delay. The UN Security Council strongly condemned the loss of life and backed the statement issued earlier by the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who called on both sides to halt the fighting and return to negotiations. In addition, the UN Security Council expressed support for the central role of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, Minsk Group co-chair, and urged the sides to work closely with them. Thailand will receive its first foreign vacationers when a flight from China arrives next week, marking the gradual restart of vital tourism sector battered by coronavirus travel curbs, a senior official said on Tuesday. The first flight will have about 120 tourists from Guangzhou flying directly to the resort island of Phuket, Thailand Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha told reporters on Tuesday that Thailand are not opening the country but they are limiting the number of entries and will manage tourists with wristbands and apps to follow them. Can we manage this as a pilot project? I have to ask people who have benefit from tourism sector on whether they're agreeable to reopening the country. If they are, they need to cooperate with us and we can apply measures. The tourists who enter Thailand must accept and abide by our rules and laws that bring quarantine state or designated quarantine facilities and also allows authorities to track their movement. We are limiting number of visitors coming so that we can exercise control of the situation. There's also a wristband and app to track them. Thailand has kept coronavirus infection low with just 3,559 cases and 59 deaths, but its economy has taken a hit from a ban on foreign visitors since April and is expected to contract 8.5% this year. According to the government spokeswoman, Thaisora Nakul, that Thailand expects 1,200 tourists in the first month, generating about 1 billion baht, or $31.55 million in revenue, and 12.4 billion baht over 1 year, drawing in 14,400 tourists. The tourists need health insurance and a negative coronavirus test 72 hours before traveling and will be tested twice in quarantine. North Korea's ambassador to the United Nations, Kim Song, told the UN General Assembly that his country currently directs all efforts for economic construction. Kim said on Tuesday that based on its reliable guarantee for safeguarding the security of the state and its people, North Korea is now directing all its efforts to economic construction. The ambassador pointed out that North Korea requires a favorable external environment allowing economic construction to take place. North Korea's nuclear program has been subject to concerns of the international community for decades now. A number of countries and international organizations, including the United Nations, have imposed sanctions against North Korea that have put restrictions on humanitarian aid to the country. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling the Azerbaijan-Armenian prolonged conflict. The tension between Azerbaijan and Armenia is increasing. The two countries, which have a history of conflict for decades, have re-engaged in armed clashes. On Sunday, September 27, 2020, the military forces of each country reportedly attack each other in a border area that has long been a critical area of dispute. Military officials from both sides accuse and blame each other for the heavy artillery fire. It was reported that the incident has taken some lives, including a child and a woman near Nagorno-Karabakh. This region is an area on the border of Azerbaijan and Armenia, which has been disputed by the two countries for many years. History records the conflict of Nagorno-Karabakh has its roots in 1921. At that time, the Soviet Union included Nagorno-Karabakh to become part of Azerbaijan, even though the majority of its population is ethnic Armenian. The dissolution of the Soviet Union as a result of perestroika in 1991 provided an opportunity for the Armenian people to separate Nagorno-Karabakh from Azerbaijan. Armenian separatists supported by the Armenian government then took over and declared it a separate territory, which until now was not recognized by the United Nations. The recent chaos began to occur in July 2020. This has raised fears of a resurgence of war, which could result in the death of large numbers of civilians. Data says that in the post-Soviet Union war, at least 30,000 people from both ethnicities were killed. Meanwhile, thousands of people living on the border were forced to flee. The region of the Caucasus, known for its fertility and beauty, was devastated by war. With mediation by the United States, Russia, and France, Azerbaijan and Armenia finally concluded a ceasefire. Even so, the disputed areas around Nagorno-Karabakh are still prone to conflict, as happened last July. In 2016, a violent clash had also occurred which resulted in the death of 110 people, as with the internal conflicts or between neighboring countries that have occurred in several regions in the world, such as North Korea and South Korea, as well as the war in Syria, the feud between Azerbaijan and Armenia also involves foreign parties. Turkey supports Azerbaijan, which is an oil-rich country. In addition, historically, Armenia is known to have a hereditary grudge against Turkey. During the First World War, it was recorded that at least 1.5 million Armenians were killed in the Turkish expansion, which was then under the Ottoman Empire. Armenia itself is known for a long time relying on Russia as its support, including from the military side and war equipment. Apart from historical factors, Turkish interventions also appears to be driven by political interest, namely to strengthen its influence in the Caucasus region. The international community also paid attention to the chaos of Azerbaijan and Armenia. Economically, concerns arise because not far from the conflict area there is a pipeline that supplies fuel oil to various countries in the world. History shows that war or armed conflict is not the ideal solution for resolving disputes. Negotiations to seek peace are the best way. However, in the conflicts of Azerbaijan and Armenia, the resentment and hatred that has been ingrained since decades can become an obstacle to peace, especially when the political and economic interests of other countries have played a role. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hello, listeners of Radio Republic Indonesia, wherever you are. I'm Wadi Ben Abdallah, Ambassador of the Kingdom of Morocco to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th anniversary to Radio Republic Indonesia. And also, I would like to say happy anniversary of 60 years of diplomatic relations between Kingdom of Morocco and Republic of Indonesia. To all staff of Radio Republic Indonesia, my best wishes for a continuous success. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara.
Listener, we meet again in Today in History of a Voice of Indonesia. We start from a historical event on September 30, 1965, Wasako Movement of G30S. The 30 September Movement Wasako attempt, which took place on September 30, 1965 in Indonesia. Six Indonesian military generals were kidnapped and killed in the incident. The background to the incident has never been formally investigated until now. Although a number of soldiers were involved, communist leanings were blamed for the incident. This movement was followed by the massacre of members of supporters of the Indonesian Communist Party, PKI. Thousands of people were arrested and imprisoned without trial. It is estimated that half a million people died from this incident. We turn to the next history on September 30, 1991, the establishment of the World Translation Day. International Translation Day is celebrated on September 30 annually at the Feast of Saint Jerome, the Bible translator who was considered the patron of translators. This celebration was initiated by the International Translator Federation, FIT, which was founded in 1953. The General Assembly of the United Nations on May 24, 2017 passed a resolution declaring September 30 as International Translation Day, an act to recognize the role of professional translation in relations between nations. The tragedy of Matthew Hurricane occurred on September 30, 2007 in West Atlantic. Matthew Hurricane is a very strong, long-lived and deadly tropical cyclone that was firstly classified as Category 5 Atlantic Hurricane after Felix Hurricane in 2007. Matthew Hurricane covered a large area in West Atlantic, including Haiti, Cuba, the Dominican Republic and Lucayan Islands, southeastern United States, and Canadian Maritime Province. This storm caused severe devastation and claimed heavy casualties. At least 522 to 1,381 deaths are thought to have occurred during the storm, with an estimated damage of more than $5.2 billion. The storm was also the worst hurricane before Sandy Hurricane in 2012. Listener, that was Today in History.
Usahakah bila ada rasa padamu di saat sudah ada dia yang beri senyuman di hari-harimu. Bukan salahku cinta hadir tak menentu.
Salah, karena cinta tak pernah salah. Anda bisa kulawan semua. mencegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhenque pei tai kouzhao, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kouzhao bao hu ni, yi de kouzhao bao hu wo.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Chip Batam Bintan Karimun Program is Inaugurated. The Chip Batam Bintan Karimun, or BBK Murah program, initiated by Riau Islands Chamber of Commerce and Industry, was officially launched by the Coordinating Minister for Economy, Erlangga Hartarto, in Bintan on Saturday. Erlangga Hartarto, in his remarks, said he is giving full support and appreciation for the Riau Islands Chamber of Commerce and Industry. He said this move will boost investment growth in the Riau Islands. Erlangga said he received information that there have been 11 companies in negotiation and prediction of labor absorption for 1,500 people with investment target around $550 million in the Chip Batam Bintan Karimun program. Meanwhile, Chairman of Riau Islands Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Ahmad Maruf Maulana, said the program is a stimulus package in the form of free land rent for 5 years in the locations in the free trade zone of Batam, Bintan, Karimun, and Tanjung Pinang. The cheap part means affordable and having better competitive value with incentive support in the free trade status of Batam, Bintan, and Karimun. He explained there has been available land as much as 50 hectares in Batam, 500 hectares in Karimun, and 1,000 in Bintan. Ma'ruf Maulana added, this program also offers incentive in form of tax and retribution relaxation in regions included in this program, such as tax for hotel, restaurant, entertainment, streetlight, property, and parking. The other stimulus for small-medium enterprises is licensing bureaucracy facilities. The Chip Batam Bintan Karimun program received support from the Coordinating Ministry for Economy, Industry Ministry, Trade Ministry, Agriculture Ministry, Tourism and Creative Economy Ministry, Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, as well as stakeholders in Riau Islands. Chairman of BP Batam, Muhammad Rudi, who also attended the inauguration, said he gave high appreciation and fully supported this program. He said BP Batam will prepare infrastructure facilities such as seaport and airport. Also, BP Batam will give ease in licensing and many others. The inauguration was marked by the siren button pressing and epigraph signing by the Coordinating Minister for Economy Airlangga Hartarto, accompanied by Industry Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita, Trade Minister Agus Suparmanto, Agriculture Minister Syahrul Yasin Limpo, and the Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Wisnutama. And listener, that was My Indonesia.
Bangkitlah dan tersenyumlah. mampu merakit mimpimu.
Semboyan kami angkasawan RRI.
Hello all listeners to Radio Republic Indonesia, wherever you are. I'm Marina Berg, the Swedish ambassador to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th anniversary to Radio Republic Indonesia. I also would like to send greetings to all Indonesians listening to Radio Republic Indonesia. This year, we are celebrating 70 years of diplomatic relations between Sweden and Indonesia. Happy anniversary to all of us.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Curug Pitu. Banjarnegara is a regency in Central Java. This regency has a million charms and amazing natural panoramas, and many are still hidden. So there are still many people who do not know the beauty of Banjarnegara. Banjarnegara has many beautiful tourism attractions ranging from cultural sites, historical sites, contemporary photo spots, crater, lakes, reservoir, to waterfalls that really spoil the eyes that you must explore immediately. One of the spectacular waterfalls in this area is named Curug Pitu, or in English it means seven waterfalls. This waterfall is located in Kemiri Village, Sigalu District in Banjarnegara Regency, Central Java Province. According to its name, Curug Pitu has seven levels from top to bottom. To reach all levels, visitors have to walk upstream through narrow paths. The lower the waterfall is, the bigger and higher the waterfall is. The lowest one is about 30 meters high with a large pool underneath, which is usually used for bathing, swimming, or just playing and enjoying the splashes of cold and cool waterfall. Curug Pitu is a tourist attraction that should be visited. At this place, we can find a waterfall where the water is so clear and fresh. Curug Pitu offers exotic views that are so beautiful and amazing. The water is not too high, but the pool under the waterfall is enough to provide a sensation of comfort when you soak. The water in this tour is definitely the water from the mountains, so that its freshness is not in doubt. This Curug Pitu is located about 10 kilometers to the northeast of the center of Banjarnegara. To get to the location, it takes a lot of effort. We have to walk 1.5 kilometers from the highway. However, this fatigue will not be felt because along the way, your eyes will be spoiled by the stunning surrounding scenery. The green and white expanse of rice fields will be the main view for you to look at. Surely, you will feel calm and at ease when you see it. You will get a beautiful mountain background here. Along the way, you will also find Zalaka Gardens, which are so extensive that local residents have planted them. So, prepare yourself for an adventure to Curug Pitu in Banjarnegara, Central Java. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Curug Pitu in Central Java. Tomorrow, we'll meet again with another interesting topic.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Aku Menyesal. In English, I regret. Listen to this conversation about Aku Menyesal. In English, I regret. Siti asks Kevin about the last day of Kevin's exam.
Hi Kevin, gimana ujian terakhirmu?
Aku menyesal tidak bisa menjawab semua soal ujian.
Kenapa begitu?
Aku menyesal tidak belajar semalam.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to that topic today. I'm going to say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Aku menyesal, which means I regret. Tidak bisa, which means cannot. Menjawab, which means to answer. Soal ujian, which means exam question. Kenapa, which means why. Saya tidak belajar semalam, which means I did not study last night. If you want to express regret, you can use the word menyesal. In the dialogue, Kevin expresses his regret about the last exam. He uses the sentence, Aku menyesal tidak bisa menjawab semua soal ujian. Aku menyesal tidak belajar semalam. Which means, I regret that I couldn't answer all the exam questions because I didn't study last night. Another word to express regret is seharusnya. In the sentence, seharusnya aku bisa menjawab semua soal ujian, which means I should be able to answer all the exam questions. In the Indonesian language, there is still another phrase to express regret, such as saya kurang beruntung, which means I'm out of luck. Well, listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Hi Kevin, gimana ujian terakhirmu?
Aku menyesal tidak bisa menjawab semua soal ujian.
Kenapa begitu?
Aku menyesal tidak belajar semalam.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I would like to present a song from West Java entitled Kalangkang. The word Kalangkang in Sundanese language means shadow. The lyrics of the song Kalangkang narrates about romance of a couple lover. They falling in love with each other and sharing sense of happiness. Initially, the beauty of the relation was only an illusion, but finally it becomes reality. The song Kalangkang, which was composed by Nano S, included in an album with the same title, which was released in 1988 and popularized by Nining Meida. Well, listener, Here is the song Kalangkang, sung by Nining Maida. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
We end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.